Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. And welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. Today it's just me again, as we dive into an episode where I wanted to share with you. I just came back from a week of unplugging and vacation and did a lot of thinking and praying. And one of the things that I was thinking about was the idea of leadership and how a good leader knows that they must take some breaks. They must take some Sabbaths. In order for them to lead healthy and to be healthy, you've got to stay healthy. And that requires you to take breaks. And so as I was sitting out thinking around the campfire, this podcast episode came to my heart, and I felt really led to share it with you all. So I hope it's a blessing for you. One of the things that I wanted to talk about in this episode is leadership hacks for building leadership teams. They're not really hacks, but they're just principles and truths that I've learned over the years of being in ministry, not only from my father, but from other mentors and other people that have poured into my heart and life. Over the years, I've asked a lot of questions about building teams. As many of you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know I've served in a variety of different sized churches, from under 100 people to over several thousand. And wherever I've been, I've realized the need that ministry can't be done alone. It should never be done alone. And that everyone needs help. These are two indisputable truths in ministry. I don't care how large or how small of a setting you serve in, you as a leader need to get some help doing the ministry. You're not designed to do ministry alone. That's not God's intention for us to be the only ones leading ministry. One of the lies the enemy tries to keep us in bondage with and to make a stronghold with is to help get us to believe that we can do ministry alone, or that no one else is available. No one else has the time or the commitment level that we have to lead. So let's dive in on talking about how can we build healthy teams? What can we do to gain influence in our world of ministry? Well, one of the first things is let's start with why, because that's an important part to start with, right? So why do you need to have at least one person by your side leading? Well, please receive this in love, family. You're not God. You're not Superman. You're not Iron Man. I went from the strongest to maybe the weakest. I don't know. Probably should have put Superman last. But you get the idea. You need help leading. You can't be everywhere and see everything. You aren't God. And you weren't designed to do it alone. God saw that Adam needed a helpmate, and so he created Eve. Everywhere in Scripture, you see that they went out in pairs. They helped each other. They worked together. The disciples were sent out in twos. Why? Because ministry is not designed to be alone. And if that biblical principle is there, you cannot and shouldn't keep leading on your own. You need to stop and ask God for that helper. Again, I'm going to dig into Scripture. Moses is a great example. He was a loner leader for a long time. But there's a particular story that stuck out in my mind as I was thinking about this episode and how Moses' father-in-law was observing Moses in action, sitting as the judge before the people of Israel and trying to handle all the disputes and all of the things that were going on in that community. And his father-in-law saw that this was draining Moses, that this was negatively affecting Moses' family. It was negatively affecting the community of Israel. It was negatively affecting Moses himself. And his father-in-law came to Moses and confronted him about this. Maybe the Spirit, I'm praying, will be poking at you if you're sitting there leading alone right now. Because I did it for way too long. I'm guilty, gang. I'm not telling you something that I haven't done. I did this for a long time. I believed that I was the only one that had the passion and the drive or that could do what I was doing. and I build a ministry around me. And you know, there's a real danger to that. Because when we do those kind of things and then we leave, God calls us somewhere else or we have to leave. The ministry oftentimes really suffers. It gets hurt because we didn't take the time to develop other leaders around us. I think one of the greatest things you can do for your own longevity, for your own legacy, so to speak, is to build into someone else, to develop someone else. Moses' father-in-law said, hey, you can't be doing this all the time. And so Moses developed other leaders that could do other things and do what he was doing and probably do it even better so that he could focus on being a leader. So do you have people in your ministry that have been really faithful with a little? Is there someone out there that has leadership skills or organizational skills or is highly relational? Do they have giftings that are different than you? Don't always look for someone that has the same gifting and the same passion as you. If you're struggling with organization and thinking of little details, find somebody with the little details. If you're an introvert and you struggle being around lots and lots of people, find that highly relational person. So here's my first hack for you. Design a leader. Design a leader that you need to come along beside you. If you've been sitting there thinking, and I know everybody has, if you're serving alone, or if you've got a small team and you need a bigger team, you've been thinking, oh, if only I had this kind of person. If only I had somebody gifted in this way or this type of ability. Well, put it on paper. Put it down on paper and create that design, that job description, that those temperaments, those personality traits, those giftings, write it down. And then once you've created that job description, once you've given it some purpose, once you've put down what you think are the time requirements and what this person would be doing specifically, don't give it vague things. Be specific, because you're going to make a very specific ask. First, you're going to ask God. You're going to ask God to give you names. Bring names to mind of people that have these giftings of your designed leader. Then you're going to go talk to your senior leaders and ask them, do you know of anybody? Give them that job description. Give them that list and say, do you know of anybody that fits this list? Who could I ask? And see if they have any different names or if they confirm some names of people that you've put in on your list. It's amazing how God confirms to us that there's someone out there that we didn't even see sometimes that have the giftings that we're looking for. And then once you've got that list, pray it through one more time, spend a day or two, and then make some phone calls or catch them in person on a Sunday morning or whenever and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I've got something really significant that I've been praying through, and your name has come to mind, and your name has been given to me by my senior leaders as someone who would fit a role that I'm looking for. And I have a significant task, a significant opportunity for you to make an impact here in our church and with our family ministry, our children's ministry. Would you just sit down and have some coffee with me so I can talk it through and explain to you why I think you're the right person for this amazing opportunity? And schedule that time. Take them out for coffee, sit down, and then before you present the job description, share your heart, your big picture. Give them an elevator pitch 5 minutes long or less that you can just say, here's what's happening so significantly in our ministry. And I have something, like I said, so significant, and it really is someone like you. It's designed for someone like you to lead. To be that person that can make a huge difference. Make it clear and make it specific about what you're wanting them to do. Because this is a big ask that you're doing. But you need to be very specific, very clear, and don't apologize. Don't sit and say, one of the things that sabotages so many leaders is you'll say, I know you're super busy, and I know you don't have time for this, and I know you, maybe this is too busy of a season for you, but I want to ask you if you could do this. Well, you're already telling them, wow, you're so overwhelmed and I'm sure you're going to say no to this. And then they're probably going to say no because you just told them that they're just too busy and they don't have time. But let me tell you, a principle that I've learned from others is that those are the busy people are the best kind of people to ask because they know how to organize their time. They know how to get things done in a decent way. So go after that and don't be apologizing for it. Because let me tell you, getting help in developing coaches or developing an assistant leader is so important. And you need to make this ask. So first hack is to design that leader. Figure out who that ideal person is. Ask God. Make that list. Ask your senior leaders. And sit down with that person and begin to ask them to consider this idea. Now, let me just throw this in there too. Maybe you're in a bigger ministry where you've got a larger volunteer team already. Let me tell you, you may need to get two or three people in place and call them coaches or whatever, where they're overseeing smaller groups of people. Because honestly, there's been some research that show that you really can only deeply know and pour into about eight people. So you want to keep them small. So one coach to every 5 to 8 leaders, maybe up to 10, but make it manageable. And then again, design that leader, what you want them to do. Create that job description, create that time expectation and what their role is, and then make it possible for them to win. So let's say we've sat down and we've asked our one person or our two people, and they have said, yes, they want to make a difference. Hack number two, you need to develop that leader. You need to have a plan that is intentional and focused. And you really almost need to do this while you're praying through the other list, because you need to know what you're going to do with the leaders when you get them. Oftentimes leaders say, oh God, I want a leader. I need a leader. Send me a leader. But you wouldn't know what to do with them if you had them. You need to make a plan. How am I going to develop that leader? So when I get that leader and I create that leadership team, I need to have a plan that I'm going to minister and disciple them, that I'm going to pour into them like Paul poured into Timothy. He was intentional about how he did it. And he built into Timothy by shadowing him and working together, partnering together. And so let me tell you, hack number two, developing that leader means taking that leader everywhere you go. Create that little mini me, because you want them to be that. You want them to have what I call the heartbeat of the house. You want them to have that where they know what your heartbeat is and what you value, so that when they give an answer, it's your answer. When they make a decision, it's your decision. Why? Because you've poured into them so much. How do you do that? Well, you need to calendar some times intentional where they're going to learn and they're going to develop together, whether that's doing a leadership book study, listening to a podcast together, watching a webinar, hiring an online coach that could meet with both of you at the same time and talk through different coaching things and developing them and you as a leader. So they see you learning with them, because if they see you valuing it, they're going to value it. If they don't see you planning it, they're not going to plan for it. If they see you winging it all the time, they're going to wing it all the time. If they see your calendar and how you've got it organized, so share with them those things. Don't hide those things. Train them up. Show them how to do it. Maybe if you've got a leadership team of even two or three people, you design a little mini retreat. But you can even do this with one other person. Design a little treat. It doesn't even have to be far away. Just a day where you go and have some fun, have some food, good food, and do an activity together that you can then debrief and say, now, what are some of the leadership things we saw? What are some things that we as a leadership team can think about and do? But let me tell you, if you don't schedule this, if you don't design a plan, and all you do is dream about what you would do with that, developing that leader, and you don't plan it out and you don't calendar out, then it's just that. It's just a dream. It's just good intentions. Plans that aren't scheduled will always remain dreams or best intentions that never were. So here's another thing. As you're developing that leader, schedule breaks for them. give them a little season of rest periodically throughout the year where they have zero responsibility and they can take a time off, maybe go visit another church and let them go site visit somewhere else and see how other things are done differently, but schedule some breaks for them. If budget allows, send them to a conference. You take off and don't go, but send them to the conference to enlarge their vision. I highly recommend Children's Pastors Conference through INCM in Orlando in January. That's a great opportunity for them to get around so many different leaders and to be exposed to so many different things. Just got to say, I highly recommend that one. All right, hack number three, let them be the leader. Capital T-H-E, the leader. You want to encourage them to begin leading with more responsibility. So if it's you and one other person, give them one of the groups, maybe the preschool department, or give them the elementary department, and let them lead that group. Give them the responsibility to start do the Sunday morning huddles where they inspire and encourage and equip the team. Give them opportunity, give them a little budget money, or give them a gift card to Dunkin' or Starbucks and say, hey, I want you to pick a couple leaders and go take them out for coffee and find out how they're doing. Pour into them and see how they're doing spiritually, emotionally, physically. See how their ministry is doing, how their family's doing. Go get to know your team, but let them lead. Give them opportunity where you're observing them in action on a Sunday morning, but they're leading. Again, take them with you when you sit down with another volunteer to check on them and to see how they're doing. Let them, you model it first and then release them to go do it. Take them with you to leadership meetings if your senior leader will allow them to attend so that they can see a bigger picture again of what the entire church is. But again, make sure it's the right timing on the meeting. You don't want to talk about something sensitive as a staff team to have a volunteer exposed to something that they're not ready for yet. Because sometimes we have to deal with issues that are hard and they're not ready for that. Network with them. Get them connected to other children's ministry leaders in your area. If you don't have a network, start one. Get together with some other leaders and invite them to coffee and to sit and chat about what you're doing and how you're doing it. Give them a project and let them design it from the ground up. Maybe you've got an event coming up that's not super, super huge that you could give that to them and let them plan it. And then you just manage from a distance. You make sure they're getting everything on the calendar and thinking through all the steps and you evaluate with them. But let them lead. Don't jump in too quick. Let them lead and let them fail. Because you know what? How many of you have failed a few times? And you've learned from it. Yeah, me too. Let me tell you, failing is a great teacher. And sometimes you got to let them do that. You can't jump in and take it away from them thinking, you know, oh, I better do this because I don't want them to fall. No, let them, because that's an important thing for them to learn. You take a weekend off and let them completely lead. And then you follow up and debrief afterwards. Again, they're going to sink or they're going to swim, but it'll show you how you've done letting them be a leader, how you've done developing them as a leader. And then here's another thing. Have them look for someone under their ministry leadership that they could develop as a leader. Encourage them to share some of the resources and some of the training you've given them and pour into someone else so that they're beginning to think about replacing themselves. Hack number four, developing yourself. You see, they need to understand that you as a leader spend a lot of time intentionally developing yourself, not just studying the word on your own, but also developing yourself as a leader, a whole leader. Listening to podcasts that just aren't children's ministry focused, but leadership and organization and whatever. Reading different books. Networking yourself. You going to conferences. These are important things that they need to see that you're being poured into. And that you're being developed. That you're getting coaching. maybe you need to join a coaching group or get some one-on-one coaching so that you could be developed as a leader, so that you can share, hey, this is what I'm learning as I'm getting coached, and then I'm pouring it into you. That's a powerful tool when they do that. You see, when you start recruiting like Jesus, you know, he started with 12, but he really poured into three. And those three developed not only the other nine, but then they helped develop 70 more. And those 70 went out and helped build the church. You see, we've got to have that kind of mindset, team. We've got to have that kind of mindset where we are building the next generation of leaders. Some of you have been doing ministry a long time. Some of you have been doing it a very short time. It doesn't matter how long or short you've been in ministry. You need to start developing a leadership team, whether that's one or whether that's 10. What's your plan? How are you going to do it? If you're getting stuck, if you're not sure where to proceed, I would highly recommend you look into coaching. KMC coaching is available. This is what I'm doing full time now. God has opened a door for me to do this full time, and I would love the opportunity to do that. You can go to kmccoach.net and fill out the information form. There's several forms on there. There's other on the Facebook group where you can get a part of a group coach or a one-on-one experience. The fees right now for these coaching experiences are at their lowest ever. They won't be offered this low for very long. I'm looking forward to adding more. God has been filling up our spots. We're going to be opening up a brand new group for middle-sized churches. It'll be a group of four leaders meeting once a month for 4 months. And I can guarantee you it's going to be an amazing thing. So if you're interested in that, you can comment, send me a message, PT Bump on Twitter, or look at the kmccoach.net website and go there and fill out the information form if you need some help. But I hope these few hacks have been helpful for you. I hope that you're continuing to develop leaders yourself. But if you are stuck, reach out for help. Reach out into the KMC Facebook group and ask what other leaders are doing to develop their leaders. I guarantee you, with the collective experience that we have in our group, we'll be sure to be able to answer some of your questions. So God bless you all. Thanks for listening to this edition of the KMC, and I hope that you'll join us again real soon. You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.